Hello and welcome back to Highly Successful Couples. I'm your host, Nick Solacek. And as we continue our journey of growing together instead of growing apart, I want to talk a little bit about change and identity. This is a subject that is always at the heart of conversations that I'm having with couples. And it's certainly been a big part of my growth and my, what I would call success in my own relationship. I'm very resistant to, people telling me what to do, or trying to control me or, because it comes off as smothering and dominating. And I grew up in an environment that had some of that going on, right? Strict rules, and you have to do this and you have to do that. And you don't have a choice. You don't have a say in the matter. And for many of you, you might have dealt with similar dynamics, whether you did or not. Usually people are sensitive to being controlled. Right. So it makes sense that I often get comments online and, I hear in my sessions with couples that people don't want to change their partner. They don't want to have to change themselves in order to make the relationship work. They don't want to feel like they're putting pressure on their partner to be someone who they don't want to be. And recently I received a comment that said, quote, "If a person needs to change for a relationship to work, then that relationship is not for them." They continue to say, "I will never change who I am for a relationship. I am me. I am the way I am. And if it's not liked, then they can leave or never start a relationship with me in the first place. Unless the relationship is abusive, nobody should have to change who they are." End quote. Now, I don't know who this person is, how old they are, whether they've even been in a relationship, but I hear different versions of this comment all the time. And people confuse change for conformity. We think change means I need to be exactly who my partner wants me to be instead of being who I am. If my partner doesn't like my friends, well, I need new friends. If my partner doesn't like the color blue, I won't wear it. If my partner doesn't eat meat, I won't eat meat. If my partner doesn't like Donald Trump, I won't like Donald Trump. And I'm not recommending that any of us abandon our identity or our core values in order to make our relationship work. I am recommending that we change and that we remain open to change. What I mean by that is that we are not perfect. I've probably said that 100 times in the last 32 episodes, and we're going to keep it rolling. We are not perfect. We are just a pain in the ass like our partner, right? But just in different ways. We can be really bad at repairing from conflict and prioritizing emotional safety. When our partner disagrees with us, we can be negative and critical. If our partner is not really confident socially, we can quietly judge them. When we don't get our way, we can act like a bratty, immature child. We have a tendency to take things for granted and focus on the things that don't work, right? We've all got our negativity bias. So we're guaranteed to get triggered or annoyed in life. It's going to happen. And how we handle those triggers, how we process things, will have a big impact on the health of our relationship. So my point is, we all have to change, not conform, but change. We have opportunities to learn, grow, and be better. Some of us truly believe that we are perfect. Some of us believe we're done growing and we've got no more work to do. And that's fine. But I do see things a different way. I've been focused on my own personal development for the last 20 years, and I've been actively working with people for more than 10. And one thing I've discovered is that the work is never done. There are many layers to this, and new challenges and life scenarios will appear. So our experience of who we are is emerging. Now, you might think of that as a flower blooming or some other analogy that you can think up, but it's really just like, if anything in life is guaranteed beyond the fact that we will die, it is change. And even death is a kind of change. But If you die, this podcast can't help you. So let's, for now, in the land of the living, discuss changing while you are here on Earth and what that might look like for you. Because I get these kinds of comments online because people find change threatening, right? Most people are afraid that being in a relationship means that they will lose themselves, that they will have to be somebody that they're not. And most of us have had experiences in our relationships where we feel like we have lost ourselves, right? If you've ever come out of a breakup, you have this experience of like, oh, I feel like just disconnected from my passions and my hobbies and my interests, just who I am, and that energy of like how I feel, what I feel is myself. I feel out of orbit, you know, ungrounded. And maybe, you know, if we're in relationship, maybe we don't see our friends as much, right? Maybe we're not as connected to our community, or we don't engage in those hobbies we used to engage in. Maybe we don't go to yoga like we used to, or we don't spend as much time playing that instrument, you know, that we loved. We do have a tendency to lose ourselves in relationship. And if, you know, we have ever had the experience of falling in love, we have lost ourselves in that. Right? This blissful merging with another. And in a way, it does pull us from our center. We are high in love and on top of the world. And if we've been together many years in a long-term relationship, we have probably had those moments where we shrank, conformed, abandoned ourselves, bit our tongue, or behaved in a way that didn't really align with our vision for our best self or our highest self. So we simultaneously fear changing for another person, but then we also catch ourselves changing for another person to protect something. And that something could be many things, like avoiding the loss of approval, or avoiding the loss of love, or preventing ourselves from experiencing rejection, you know, or something else. So our fear makes sense, but it's not necessarily rational. Many of us have experienced relationships where we've had to give up parts of ourselves to keep things going, like we go along to get along. But I want to offer a reframe today and something that might change the way that you think about this. Many of you who listen to the show are growth-minded people, and some of you might be dropping in for an episode or two. So you know, what I want to say here is being in a relationship should not require you to erase who you are. Right? We're not talking about erasing who you are. We're talking about an invitation to growth. And growth means change. Something that drives our resistance to change is a fear of losing ourselves and our autonomy. We want to maintain the ability to be ourselves and to make our own decisions. And many of us do carry a fear of being controlled, of someone else trying to mold us into their version of who they think we should be. And that fear runs deep. It's biological. And we are wired to protect our identity, and even more so if it's been threatened before. So, you know, just to give some examples here of things that people experience in their life, maybe you had a parent who punished you for expressing anger or sadness, or a parent who pushed you down a certain career path, right? Sort of like, this is who you're going to be, this is how it's going to go. Or a parent made you go to church. You didn't want to go, but they made you go. Maybe you had a partner who tried to micromanage every detail of your life. Or maybe you've been told over and over again that who you are isn't quite right in some way, right? There's something wrong with you, or up with you, or you need help, or you're crazy, you're too much, you're not good enough. So now in relationship, even gentle feedback can feel like an attack. And any suggestion of change, of doing things differently, can feel like a betrayal of yourself. And while those experiences in the past might have been inappropriate, wrong, and less than ideal parenting, you can still, be on guard as an adult to anyone who's trying to change you. So you're no longer at home with mom and dad, but you've got the same kind of hypervigilance or feeling on guard or, defensive. You can be very sensitive to comments or suggestions that maybe hint or directly state that you should be different. I would argue, I believe that regardless of our past and what you and me have experienced, most of us don't like the feeling of being judged, not approved of, criticized, or told that something about us is off or wrong, right? That's not a good feeling. But it does make it extra frustrating and painful or anxiety-inducing when we have had these experiences in the past. So we got a lot to work on there, right? Because when we get anxious, we get in our minimizing, maximizing patterns. And if you're not aware of that, go back, look at the earlier episodes in this series. Here we've talked a bit about that, and I'll talk more about it in the future. When we're in these situations, there's two kinds of change. There's self-abandonment, and there's this kind of relational growth. So we can abandon ourselves. We can suppress our needs, our voice, our truth to just keep the peace and gain approval. Usually that's a strategy that we learn in childhood to manage our parents or our family or things that are going on. And then there's another kind of empowering, healthy relational kind of change, which is about growth, where you are choosing to stretch, where you are learning, and you're not shifting just to please someone else, but you're making a shift because you want to create relational harmony, or you want to learn how to love your partner better. You want to learn how you can work through some of the repetitive conflicts and misunderstandings that come up in your relationship. Maybe you've got that deeper spiritual mission that you want your relationships to be about healing and growth. That you want your partnership to be this container where, sometimes we don't hear each other right and we can get it wrong, but we are really committed to having this be a safe space that we want to create a relationship that isn't perfect. But that we both have this high level of willingness that we can show up with an open heart, breath in our body, and we can learn different skills to co-regulate, to soothe each other's nervous systems, to regulate ourselves. Those are all, beautiful things. Now, no matter what you want, I just want to give an example here of like a typical couple. So let's talk about Jordan and Taylor. I obviously have. I'm not using their real names. These are just placeholders. But Jordan grew up with a hypercritical parent. Every feeling, everything that was expressed was usually judged, met with some kind of rebuttal. Every kind of expression or request, everything he sort of needed or talked about it would get shut down a lot in his experience. So as an adult, what he learned through that time is that being calm and being independent and not relying on anyone and doing things myself is the way, right? So he sort of prides himself on that. And he partnered with Taylor. And, in their relationship, she starts to feel disconnected. She starts to tell him about this, hey, I'm feeling kind of disconnected from you. I feel like I don't hear from you. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know how you feel about our relationship. And I'm, feeling maybe a little insecure or anxious. And, he gets frustrated. And he says, in his mind, he says this out loud, but in his mind, he's at least thinking, oh God, here we go again, right? Just someone telling me I'm not good enough, trying to control me, right? Tell me what to do, or criticize me. And so he would get reactive or snap back, like, this is who I am. Like, I shouldn't have to change to make you happy, right? And that was obviously a trigger for him. So he'd respond in this really like guarded, defensive way. And this situation would repeat itself in different ways, in different contexts. Many other couples have this pattern. I really do hear this a lot from people. What Jordan learned, and what we can all learn, is that we don't have to erase ourselves entirely. And I wouldn't recommend that any of us do that. But in his situation, it's like there's an invitation to reveal more of himself. And obviously, how his partner asks for that can determine how he hears it and how it lands with him. But the growth opportunity remains. So once he was able to put aside his fear, just able, first of all, able to take ownership for that and see that there was a fear, to put that aside for a moment and put aside the concerns and actually hear his partner out, he was able to better understand how her feelings of disconnection was all painful for her, but also about something from her past, right? And her experience as a child and feeling disconnected from others, and how one of her parents was really distant and not really there and didn't share a lot emotionally. And that, just like Jordan wants freedom and space, to be himself, she wants love and closeness. And from a place of empathizing with each other, they can choose to make changes. Not because Taylor put him in a headlock and requested it, demanded it, but because they both saw what was going on. They both empathized with each other's position and they decided to grow. They realized that maybe there's an opportunity here for us to both heal, for us to both get more of what we want, even if we struggle to put language to what that is. So I don't think anyone gets to stay the same. I mean, some of us do, but I believe if you stay the same, life is going to be pretty painful if you never make any changes. And if you want to have a thriving relationship, you got to change. So it's not how being the same person, being unwilling to learn, unwilling to stretch, unwilling to do things differently, unwilling to see things in a different way. That's not what's going to make relationships work. It's not how growth works. And a few examples of like the healthy growth that I'm talking about here, healthy kind of change, would be simple things. Like some of these we've talked about in the show before, like learning to pause and take a deep breath instead of reacting or exploding in a moment of anger. Right? Probably a good thing to do. Becoming more emotionally available to your partner, learning to be more present in the moment and learning to listen. Opening up more, sharing more about yourself. These are two sides of the same coin. Learning to be present and listen, learning how to share without attacking, opening up more. Maybe softening a defensive edge, learning not to take things so personally all the time and make it all about you. Or asking for what you want and what you need in positive terms instead of criticizing and complaining. Also, good thing to do. Learning to listen even when you feel misunderstood, right? And maybe especially when you feel misunderstood. These are kinds of skills and practices and muscles that we build over time. And you can do it for your partner, right? But I don't think you're doing it just for them. You're doing it for you too. You guys are doing it for each other. You're learning with each other and growing with each other. A healthy relationship doesn't just ask us to grow, but it can actually inspire it. If we start to create the kind of safety, the kind of aliveness, the kind of positive feelings that we really want to feel, it actually can inspire us. Like once couples get working on this and they see that some little shifts can make a difference, it actually can be quite motivating. And that's a beautiful thing. So you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Your partner's not perfect. And if we want to grow as people, as individuals, or as a couple, we have to be willing to evolve. We have to be willing to admit that we don't have all the right answers. The way we prefer to do things is not always the right way to do things. There are multiple roads to Rome. There is one more than one way up the mountain. And there are different methods to doing the dishes. And just because you prefer one way doesn't mean it is the only way. We benefit from seeing our partner's way, can have wisdom too, and let go of our death grip on right and wrong. So, if you're in a relationship and wondering, should I have to change for this to work? Am I abandoning myself or am I expanding myself? There are a couple inquiries here. It's like, does this change bring me closer to my truth or further away? Does this change help create more of what I want, or is it the opposite? Does this growth opportunity or this change that my partner wants to see, would it help us love each other better, or would it only help one of us feel safer? And on the small things, look, you're probably willing to compromise, right? Your partner loves Italian. You want to go for Thai. Maybe it's not a big deal, but maybe it's also an opportunity for you to say, hey, like, this is what I really want. And, geez, I'll get Thai takeout. You get Italian takeout. Those was creative ways to satisfy each person's needs and desires. It doesn't always require both people to sacrifice or compromise. But I think that we do have to make some sacrifices, as we've discussed in the show before, right? If you want one long-term monogamous partner, you sacrifice sleeping with everybody else. You're just with one person. I think that some of the sacrifices that we make to be with one partner over time, I think it's worth it. I enjoy it. I've learned a lot about myself. I've grown more in my relationship with my partner over the last 6 years than I have probably in my entire life. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. I've really seen a lot and worked on a lot, and I see that there's more to look at, more to talk about. I don't think that change is the enemy of authenticity. I want to be able to be myself. I want to feel free. I think the change is actually the path to really having a deeper kind of relationship freedom. And in the end, the right kind of changes should make you more of who you are, not less. The kind of growth and change I'm talking about actually can make you more whole, more alive, more of a free person, not someone who's a shell of themselves. So I'm not talking about shrinking, dimming your light, or suffocating your authenticity here. Ideally, both partners can be connected to their authenticity, their heart, their voice, while also finding ways to accept each other's differences instead of always bickering over them. And this is scary stuff because our identity wants to survive, and we are sensitive to anyone who wants to try to meddle with it because we've had many people judge us, control us, smother us, punish us, tell us what to do, how to think, how to dress. And as adults, we're done with all that bullshit. We don't want that. We don't want to repeat those negative patterns from the past. Most of us would rather be alone than have someone suffocate our authenticity at every turn. So we need to be empathetic towards each other's sensitivities about this. We have a biological imperative to protect our identity. That is very real. So, beyond simply surviving and staying alive, which we all want to do, fight to do, we have other biological imperatives that we will fight for in different ways. These things are extremely important. And that includes the ability to make our own choices, the sense that it is okay to be me, the sense that it's okay to explore and try new things. These are all biological imperatives that, number one is survive, stay alive. But then underneath that, we have these other things that are important to us. So if you feel limited in these ways or you feel strained in your relationship, it doesn't mean that you need to end things. It means that you have something to work on because we all do. And I'm rooting for all of you in creating the meaningful changes that you seek. If you are looking to work on your relationship this summer, I have an incredible offer for listeners of this podcast, which is that your first session with me is free. And I think that's a pretty amazing thing. No strings attached. There's no catch. There's no trap door, secret, anything like that. It's just that if you're looking for support in your relationships and you want to make meaningful changes, your first session with me is free. So get in touch with me, send me a message, email, Instagram, wherever this might find you. Let me know. And I look forward to hearing from those of you who take me up on this. As always, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. If you enjoyed the episode and you haven't left a review before, please take a moment to do that. If you feel like I deserve it, a 5-star review would mean the world to me, or share this with someone who needs it. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.